Many are the discussions about the end times. What will take place and what order they will happen. Those arguments and those theological debates and those schools of thought have gone on for many years. And I suppose as long as time is, they will continue. But what those debates and various arguments must not do is to cloud the very issues in which are paramount importance and of which there is no doubt over. There is the fact that the Lord Himself is a certainty going to come back to this earth again one day for His people. And He will come again as judge for those who rejected Him. There's another certainty, and it is that this world as we know it will one day be passed away. As it is stated in the Word of God, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. There will be that new heaven and that new earth which the Lord shall set up for His own people, the make-up of which you can find in Revelation 21. Something else which is going to happen. Something else which will take place one day is the great judgment, in which all shall be gathered before the God of all the earth, and they shall receive their just reward. Now, men and women, we have to say this, that we're living in a day in which such a thought is despised. The thought of accountability is discounted by many people, and many people do not want to give accountability to anyone. And so they feel that they can live their life in whatever way they like, and they'll not be accountable to anybody. The very thought of a day of judgment, that's foreign language. It is that which is despised. We're living in a time when the so-called gospel message is put forth in the light of God being some grandfather type figure who's a God of love and who will never judge anybody and who will never cast them from His sight. And such is the watered down message of those who seek to gain the applause of everyone and offend no one. But you know, men and women, we've been warned about that. And the Scriptures remind us of such preaching in the last days, because we read there, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And that's the day we're living in. Just tell a little story and send them away happy. Well, I draw your attention to the last verses of this chapter. There's a lot about the school of thought of the opening of the chapter. There's a lot about what order things will be. But that'll have to be for another time. The latter verses of chapter 20 speak of one thing. That is, there's a great judgment coming. And God has already appointed it in His calendar. For as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We believe the first part. Hebrews 9:27. Why don't you believe the second part? There may be a few who will think upon the day of their death. But how little, if any, will take time to think what the judgment day will be like. When all shall stand before, as we've read tonight, this great white throne. And hear the sentence passed by the God of heaven. A sentence which cannot be overturned. A sentence which cannot be revoked. A sentence which cannot be appealed against, for there is no appeal. A verdict which will be heard that will stand for all eternity. What a fearful day this will be for the unconverted soul. Every one who sat in a meeting just like this. Every one, and if it were possible, they would long, long to be back in such a meeting like this. Long to hear the way of God's salvation again. Long to hear the gospel appeal been made so that they might respond to it. But alas, it will be for them too late. Why? Because the books are opened. And a particular one book. My text, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The book are burning. Let me show you here, first of all, the book of life. Verse speaks in particular about this book, which will be in the possession of God, which is God's, which will be consulted on that great and fearful day. Now, what do we know about this book? We know, first of all, it is often termed the Lamb's Book of Life. You turn over to chapter 21, you look at the words of verse 27. It says there, and there shall in no wise enter into it, that is into heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lord Jesus, even in the glories of heaven, is often referred to as the Lamb. And indeed, this is the common title of the Savior used by John in this book of the Revelation. The Lamb is in the midst of heaven. The Lamb is in the midst of the throne. And of course, we can go back in our minds to John's Gospel, and we can see John the Baptist there, and he's standing on the banks of the River Jordan, and he looks up and he sees the incarnate God coming toward him. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world." It is, of course, a title that recalls that never-to-be-forgotten day when He made heaven possible for sinners and rebels such as we, for upon the cross of Calvary, as the prophet Isaiah was to speak, several hundred years previous to the Savior's incarnation, He likened the Lord to the Lamb going to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He was that perfect Lamb of God. That Lamb that was offered up in the stead and for the sin of a wicked and of a wretched and sinful people, just as the Lamb was to be taken in the midst of the nation of Israel as they dwelt in Egypt and Goshen for that night of the Passover. And that Lamb had to be taken from among the flock. That Lamb was young. That Lamb was a male. That Lamb was without blemish and without spot. And that Lamb was slain in the home. And the blood was taken and sprinkled upon the doorposts. And Israel knew deliverance and salvation from the death angel through the blood of the Lamb. And the apostle writes that Christ is our Passover. Christ was the one chosen of God to be slain on Golgotha's brow. And He, men and women, is the means of salvation for all who will call upon Him. And in heaven, He ever bears the marks of our redemption. The record book in heaven is the Lamb's book. But whatsoever, it is the book which is given the title of life. For those contained in it have everlasting, have eternal life. That's why the Savior came. John 10, He said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." The same thought and truth is spoken in John chapter 3 in the words of verse 36. For it says there, "He that believeth on the Son of everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The world, because of sin, has no life of itself. Life was robbed from mankind when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, when they took of that forbidden fruit. And God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But God, through his matchless grace, was to provide a way of salvation. And he sent forth his Son to die on that cross so that sinful, guilty men could again have that communion with God, have peace with God, and have life which will be eternal. It's a book of life for all who are contained in it. Something else about this book, there are names written in it. There are those who are and shall be saved in that great judgment day. Words of this text indicate their names written within. But also we could go back, for example, to Philippians chapter 4 in the words of verse 3. Paul's writing to the church. He says there, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with all our my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." Those whom Paul is referring to were those who were fellow believers. They were fellow workers in the things of the Lord. They were those who were saved by the grace of God, and they were enjoying the same blessings of salvation as Paul himself was. There's no hierarchy in this book. Apostle Paul's name is there, but so are those that we have read about. In the time of the Lord's ministry, his earthly ministry himself, the 70 were cast out and they come back excited over what they had witnessed of the power of God. But you know, the Lord said to those words, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Let me ask you tonight, do you know your names written in heaven? Is your name written in the book of life? The book of life in heaven is one which contains the names of all the saints of God. Is your name written down there in that page, bright and fair? On that great and final day, will the Lord God be able to find your name safely there in his record book? You know your name on a church register? Or your name on a minister's visitation list will not get you into heaven? Your name in the books of any orders or societies or whatever else will mean nothing before the judge of all the earth. I'm asking tonight, is your name written down in glory? My text speaks about the book of life. You know, my text goes on further and it says something about the burning lake. I want you to try and picture that scene where the judge is upon his throne. And one by one, each person comes before him on that great day. All the nations of the earth shall be gathered before him. For those who were not alive at his coming, it matters not where they were buried. There are some who desire to be buried at sea. There are others that lost at sea in their family. They could never go to a graveyard knowing that that was their final resting place. Nevertheless, they will be there. But you see, we read it tonight, that the sea gave up their dead which were in it. All in their graves shall come forth to stand before the king and the judge that day. Even those who believed they would outsmart God and had their remains cremated. They most certainly will be there too. They did not stop and think of the word of God reminds us that we were created out of the dust. And unto the dust we shall return. And if God took a lump of dust and formed Adam, do you not think he could gather up the dust again? And he'll stand before God in a great white throne? And have they judged out of those books? Picture that scene when God, having searched the book of life, does not find the name of the one who's standing before him. There may have been a young man or a young woman cut off from this scene of time in their prime of life. There may have been a middle-aged man or woman, a married man or woman. There may have been an older man or woman that had longevity of life. But they all have this in common, that they died without Christ. They died without accepting God's salvation. There may have been a man or woman well respected down on earth. There may have been those that lived a clean life and an upright life and one which was dependable and charitable, but they died without leaving a testimony of God's saving grace. And they stand before the great white throne. For those whose names are not found in the book of life, there is for them the burning lake. You see, the verse reads that they are cast into the lake of fire. Whoso is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See that word cast? It means literally thrown. They're let go. They're let go to fall into that lake which is burning. Other verses, men and women will speak to us of the same lake and they'll tell us of what it burns with. You look at the words of verse 10 that we read earlier. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Not only will the false prophet and the devil be there in that burning lake, you know, the Holy Ghost draws up a list of others. And that list we'll find in chapter 21. And this time the words of verse 8. It says, but the fearful and the unbelieving. Want you to underline that? And the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You might say, preacher, I'm not a murderer. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an idolater. But you sit on a gospel meeting tonight unbelieving, having heard the message of Christ how many times, yet saying in your heart, I will not have this man to rule over me. It's called the second death. A natural death for an unbeliever is something which is fearful enough. There are many on a sick bed tonight, and they have no peace. They're tormented. They're facing death. There's no comfort. They've been carried through the water or the valley of death. There's no Savior in their life to see them through those waters of death which roll at their feet. There's terror and there's fear of dying the first time. But this is something different. This is nothing in the light of the second death of being thrown into the lake which is burning. Savior, while he walked upon this earth one day, he repeated those words three times over as the place where the worm dieth. And the fire is never quenched. And the people of that city, particularly the city of Jerusalem, would know and understand the illustration, because outside the city was a place where they brought their refuge. They tipped it in that valley and was always burning. The Savior used the word Gehenna, fire. It never was quenched. It's a lake which burns and burns forever. And those in it will long to die but will be unable to. This is the second death. Wonder, did you ever let yourself think about that place? you've come to, you've caused to, if you are unsaved, for that is where you're going should you die as you are, sitting in that pew tonight, or under the sound of this message tonight, still in your sin. I want to tell you that the burning lake is where your sin will be punished. God is a holy God, and He must punish sin. If He didn't punish sin, He would cease being God. But if you will not accept the Savior's death on the cross, if you will not accept His paying the full penalty for your sin in His own body, then one day you will pay for your own sin yourself in that lake which burneth with fire. It is the place where God has forgotten to be merciful and from which there is no escape. You turn back to Revelation 14, you have it again, verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation. You see, here is wrath, and the illustration is used of wine. Sometimes the old wine is watered down to make it go further. But the wine of God's wrath is not mixed. It's undiluted. And it's poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation. And He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. No rest, nor day, nor night. Worship the beast in His image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of His name. Forever and ever. Some person, man or woman, get a glimpse of that burning lake. You're unsaved tonight. Don't have Christ as your Savior. I pray that you would get a glimpse of this. Is it any wonder that the preacher would exhort you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Maybe it is time that you started seriously thinking about that lake that burneth forever and ever, for every day without Christ, every Sabbath that you sit in this house rejecting Him, is a day nearer and closer to it. You know, I don't stop there. Because I just want to close tonight with a thought of the blessed Lord. What a pity if the preacher had to stop just where he has finished off speaking about the burning lake. Without giving any hope for one who knows that that is where they're heading in their sin. And that justly. For every one of us deserve that lake of fire. What a tragedy it would be if all hope was lost and you were resigned to being cast into that burning lake on that great and final day. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, if that was what you were going to hear and you were convinced of it. And there's no way out of that. It wouldn't matter what the preacher said. Wouldn't matter how many times you sat under the gospel. And certainly it'll not matter what the preacher says at your funeral. Or around that open graveside. Your destiny was going to be that lake, and your experience standing before the judge will be indescribable. As you find yourself being lifted up from His presence and been cast into those flames along with the devil and with His angels. What a tragedy if I couldn't speak on and give you any word of hope. But thank God we need not stop there, for you see there is a glimmer. There's a glimmer of hope for the one who is still without Christ and in their sin. There's still hope tonight. For the simple truth is that the God of heaven has been merciful to your soul. Why is that? He has given you another opportunity. Another opportunity to hear the Word of God, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Another opportunity for you to lay that Word upon your heart and soul. You will know by the words of my text that when you stand before the judge, it will then be too late. It'll be too late to get saved. It'll be too late then to repent. The day of God's grace will have long have passed for you. But tonight there is this beckoning opportunity. For the Savior desires and the Savior invites that you would come to Him right now and have your sins washed in His precious blood and be saved for time and for eternity. That this burning lake will never be the place where you will spend eternity in. He has paid the price. The wrath of God that was my due upon God's Lamb was laid. By the shedding of His precious blood, the debt for my sin was paid. Men and women, I want you to consider that. And on the cross, Christ died. The sinless Lamb, yet the substitute for the sinner, bearing away that sin in His own body on the tree, paying the punishment. He paid the hell so that you would never die and go there. And the invitation of the gospel goes out to you, because you see, there's one word in my text which reminds me of the gospel message. What is it? It says in our text tonight, Whosoever. Yes, in this text it enumerates those whose names wasn't to be found in the book of life. But you see, throughout the scriptures, the word whosoever is often found in the great gospel texts. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. The gospel goes out to your soul. If you would by faith lay hold upon Christ and His power to save you, you will know that everlasting life and you'll never perish. Turn over to Revelation 22. Look at the words of verse 17. Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Young person tonight, older man or woman tonight, are you thirsting at the old cisterns of this world? You're maybe at them last night. You're maybe at them in the week that has passed, and you're still thirsting. There's still a void in your heart and your life, and there'll always be until you drink of the everlasting spring of God's wonderful salvation. There's another text and it simply says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 and verse 13. I wonder, will you put your name into that verse? For if you do so, it will teach you that God's promise of salvation is also for a sinner like you. If you call upon the Lord's name for salvation, repenting of your sin, then He has promised to take you in. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to the Savior tonight. Make no further delay. Come and repent of your sin. Take Him as Lord and as Savior, and He will not cast you away, but reject Him and His offer of salvation through the blood of His cross. And you will experience on that judgment day what our text has laid out. You'll experience the casting out for all time from the presence of God into that lake that is burning. Burning with fire. Oh, dear friend, what is it going to be for you this evening? You see, the blessed Lord stands. And He has given you this opportunity to hear the gospel again, to get saved. preacher cannot save you. The church cannot save you. But there's one who has died on the cross, and he has died for those who will come by faith and lay hold upon him. No pardon through the blood of the Lamb. Wilt thou not be wise tonight? Do you not think of your destiny and eternity tonight and be wise and choose Christ? The Savior invites you. Maybe your last chance. For of course we know that God's Spirit will not always strive with man. I don't know who will be saved. That's not my business. I don't know when it is the last opportunity for some soul. That's not my business. That's why I preach to all. And I do so with urgency. God's Spirit is striving. He has allowed you to look at that place where you're heading to so that you might turn from it. You might receive Christ, the one who has paid your hell, the one who can give you eternal life, eternal salvation. I wonder tonight, will you come and be saved? Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Will you taste and see that the Lord is good tonight? May God help you to do so. Let's bow our heads in a closing word of prayer. Thank you for listening. We trust and pray the Lord will write His word upon your soul. You're not converted. Plead with you and warn you. And we simply say to you, we're here as God's servants for your sake. We'll gladly speak with you and point you to the blessed Savior, the blessed Lord, one who paid the price that you might go free. Will you come? God help you tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy mercy toward us. We know that Thou art long-suffering. We know, Lord, that Thou hast given another opportunity for those yet unsaved to be confronted with such a text as this. And whosoever's name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's brought us to that great white throne judgment. Lord, we pray that Thou would cause men and women, young people tonight to make that preparation to flee from the wrath of God that is to come. We pray they might look away to Christ, one who endured the cross and despised the shame, one who cried, "It's finished." He paid it all. We ask tonight that Thou would give deciding grace, man, woman, young person, to call upon Thee to save them, to pardon them, wash them in the precious blood, to put their name in that word, whosoever. Lord, today we pray tonight that they might leave this house, they might go home with the assurance, my name is in the book of life. And it's been there from all eternity. Oh God, speak on, we pray, and the preacher's voice is silent. Don't give rest nor peace till men and women make peace with God. Part us in thy fear and thy favor. For we pray these things in our Savior's precious and all worthy name. Amen.